Service Desk,
where we help users help themselves.
I'm Kim.
And I'm Andrew.
How are you today, birthday boy?
Well, I am doing okay. I'm kind of being, as you said, haunted by some ghosts right now. So if some spooky woo noises make it into the episode, that is ghosts from birthday past or the wind. But keeping it to the simple solution, it has to be ghosts.
100%. We're always exactly. Being haunted. On that lovely note, how's work been for you this week?
It's been pretty good. It's being summertime. Things are, a lot of employees are out and a lot of coworkers are taking PTO.
Sure.
So the demand has been pretty high and the ticket load has been getting big. So it's been busy, but it makes the days go by quick. At least that's the automatic thing I say to every user.
Well, there you go. Rather than just being like, "Wah!
I want coffee.
I just want 5 minutes. Let me go get a cup of coffee."
Right?
I feel you.
Kind of very unrelated, but I did get a motorcycle. So that's something that's been really fun, too.
That's random.
Yeah. I got a motorcycle and a motorcycle license, and I've been testing that out, trying that a little bit.
Well, that's a new adventure. Obviously, you're not dead, so that's good.
Right. What about you?
Well, I have a new job starting on July 2nd, so I'm excited for that.
Give me the deets that you could totally tell underneath the podcast.
I will be working for a large, like a worldwide company, so that'll be a new thing. It's much, much, much larger than my last situation. And I don't know what other details I can go into yet. I haven't signed anything, so I suppose technically I could say everything, but I'd rather not get on the bad side of HR before I even start, so.
HR, what is it good for?
They do give me a paycheck, so I like that.
Yeah, I suppose that's good.
But yeah, the background check was, that was what I was dealing with this week, was getting all of the details for their incredibly invasive background check. So, yay!
There have been a couple companies that do that as well. Even ones you wouldn't even think about.
Yeah, so I've been thoroughly vetted, and I'm officially starting July 2nd. So that'll be good.
Well, congratulations. That's exciting.
Yeah. Otherwise, I've just been Discord chatting it up and generally being a complete layabout. So that's been fun.
Hey, enjoy your time off.
That's what
I'm totally doing. A holiday.
It is, yes.
Yes.
Because I'm not going to get paid time off for a while after I start.
For a while, yeah, especially with a new job. That's the bad part about it.
But that's okay. What kind of news do you got for us this week?
Well, I got a few little tiny small ones here and there to kind of start things off on something that's a little more selfishly closer to my interest as of recent.
Oh.
Is a company has stated that they are working on some self-driving capabilities within motorcycles.
That's
which I didn't really think would ever happen.
There's kind of, like, you have to keep it upright, so I would imagine.
Yeah, so they're not going to really be dealing too much or at all with the steering. But a big parts supplier, auto parts supplier, Bosch,
yeah,
announced that it's working on a driver-assisted, like cruise control and avoidance, like alerts.
Huh.
So while you're probably not going to be having the motorcycle steering for you, you're probably going to be getting alerts that say, "Hey, idiot, you're leaning too much," or, you know, "Uh-oh, watch out, there's something ahead of you." And maybe even start to, you know, adaptively adjust your speed a little bit.
Hmm, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's a field that I've always felt kind of gets passed over. I don't know, even before I started riding a motorcycle, like electric motorbikes,
yeah,
they don't really get a lot of hype, but I feel like that's a perfect space if you can get batteries light enough, I suppose.
Yeah, that would be a problem. But there's like electric scooters that will get you all over town.
That is very true. You don't really see them in the larger CC vehicles, so.
It's true. They're tiny.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Another piece I have is Google has decided and announced that it will be banning its AI technology for weapons work. So when it comes to like DoD researching or contracting or helping out with, you know, government contracts, Google has decided that its technology, at least for now, they're going to go back to their "don't be evil" motto that they dropped a few years back.
Yeah, I appreciate that motto.
And not let their AI be used within weapons research, which is what a lot of employees within Google were worried about. And some of them had even left Google in protest.
Oh, wow.
Because Google had contracts with the government.
Sure.
Because I don't know about you, but I would rather not be able to have someone just say, hey, Google, bomb Syria.
Right.
Oh, well, at least for now, my Google announced, I don't know if you heard that.
No.
Oh, my Google Home just goes, I don't understand.
Good.
Which is my feeling with this whole situation, so at least I'm not being overshadowed by an AI.
There you go. Well, that's a very good thing. I can't imagine that being able to bomb Syria from your Google Home device would be a good thing.
So it's nice to see that companies are maybe, I mean, because government contracts are a lot of money. So yeah. It's really cool to see that some companies are still holding on to some morals in today's day and age.
Yeah. I had a little bit in the news as well. You know what an RFID tag is?
I do.
They are radio frequency identification tags. And so far, they've been used in things like warehouses. They tag them on a box or an item, and people can kind of walk through and see where stuff is. Well, they've been working on the technology and trying to figure out how to insert it in humans. And so if you've heard about, like, I think it was Minnesota or Wisconsin, they were, like, starting to tag people at some company up there for, I think, lunch money, which is bizarre.
Yeah, it was like a voluntary program.
Yeah. So now they are doing this for medical purposes, and they're looking at having something embedded to, like, monitor glucose levels. So if you're diabetic, it can automatically tell you if you're out of whatever range you need to be in. So that's really sounds fantastic to me.
That does sound fantastic, because especially with, you know, I've worked with a lot of people who are diabetic, family members.
Oh, yeah.
And it's really important to stay on top of your glucose level. And if you're just testing it on your own, you know, if you don't have a pump that's testing or anything like that.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's cool to hear.
So
we're going to look back in, like, you know, 20, 30 years, and we're going to be like, we were barbarians.
We had to prick our fingers to find out what our glucose numbers were. How insane is that? Oh, my gosh.
Back in my age, we had to stab ourselves. You kids and your fantastic refractometers.
So that's just something a little bit more positive on the line coming forward.
Well, I'm going to share one kind of, not news article, but
okay,
topic that will lead us right into our topic for the day.
Sure.
A couple people are starting to realize nowadays that people have a sort of an addiction to their phones.
Oh, yeah.
So a conversation is starting to pop up. You'll probably see it in news and journal articles here and there. They're starting to analyze, is it dangerous, healthy for us to be constantly checking our phone? Because a lot of people have this thing called FOMO, which is fear of missing out.
Yep.
So whenever you see that little light that blinks on your phone or a little icon, that shows up and says, hey, you have a new message. Those are all things that are taking you away from what you're doing in your life and bringing you to the phone. Or even just the color, the sounds, the way apps are designed.
Mm-hmm.
Just, I mean, it's for their best effort to design them to make you into the app and keep you there.
Yes.
So we're seeing a lot of people starting to come out with things that are helping you manage your phone life and your real life. So much so that even Google itself in the next generation of its OS and your phone software lets you set do not disturb things, which I've done, and it's amazing. So yeah. At work, I have my phone set to do not disturb during those times where it won't tell me I have a new, like, notification.
Oh, it won't even, like, pop up?
It doesn't pop up. Even if I, like, tap the little button to see the time,
yeah,
I don't see any notifications. But the second splendid. I unlock my phone, then I see my notification.
Ah, that's cool.
So, yeah. So, it allows me to kind of be able to better segment my time.
Yeah.
Focus my work. And one of those apps that is one of the hardest to put down is
Facebook,
which is our topic for the day. So why don't we just start off with the basics, Kim? What is Facebook?
Well, it started out as a way for people to stay connected. So back in the day, Mark Zuckerberg, the developer, original guy, he put together this idea of basically taking your yearbook from college and putting it online so you could see the people and possibly talk to them.
Exactly what I've always wanted to do.
Right? And it has now grown exponentially to include all manner of life in general. The essential reason is for people to get together and see what's going on in each other's lives.
Yeah, and like you said, it's grown since then. It's really become a worldwide phenomenon to the extent of that. I mean, as a company itself, it's not just social media anymore. I mean, they provide internet service in India. They are working to provide free internet service. Of course, Facebook will be, you know, your portal.
Of course.
They do all these things like marketing, advertising, and their biggest and most profitable, what keeps them in business, is market research with people and demographics.
Yes. So kind of on the some people really don't like it, some people don't care. The main thing about Facebook is if you are a user, you are the product. The company is selling your preferences, the things that you like and talk about. They're taking all that information and selling it to the people who are trying to sell you stuff.
And that isn't necessarily bad.
No.
Every time you do a Google search, every time you really do anything online that's free, because it's free, what you're doing is being analyzed.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a trade-off. And that's the part where a lot of people have to decide where they are on that topic and how much of their life they want to be able to be used as research.
Yes. And it's something that stores have been doing for ages. Like every time you get a card at a store that is like, hey, you get 10 cents off on your fuel, like at Hy-Vee or whatever, they are actually taking the data of all the things you're purchasing and putting it all together for it's called the data warehouse, and they can pull all the trends and the things to figure out like what people want to buy to help them better stock their shelves and know what to run for their sales and things like that. And it's something that's been developing over the last several decades. Well, goodness, since stores opened, it's been developing. But now that we have all this technology to literally track everything you purchase, and the bigger companies like Facebook are trying to take that information and put it all together and aggregate to a point where they have the most valuable information to whomever is trying to sell you things.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fascinating and disturbing in some ways.
Yeah, it's one of those gray areas where it's like, it's not evil, but then again, it's not like it's for you.
No.
Yeah. So why would you want to use Facebook then?
Personally, Grandma and Grandpa love to see their grandchildren. And we are a good 6 hours away from most of them, 10 from some more, and then other people across the nation.
And the thing that a lot of people, I would say the most common usage of Facebook nowadays, like you said, comes down to interacting with your family members, your friends.
Yep.
A lot of the younger generation is moving off to other different social media accounts, some of them owned by Facebook.
Which is ironic, yes.
Yeah, but you know, you got that. You got event planning is really big.
Oh, yes.
So far, I haven't really seen any other platform that's taken the event planning portion that seems to be used by Facebook. And then you got photo sharing, and then as every single notification from that one friend says, games. So Farmville and those fun little catchy games that are interesting or fun to play when you're bored.
Yes, or in my case, grandparents, because my dad is very into Candy Crush.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, these are things that it's really nice and convenient to have all together in one place. I know that there's no way I would get half the family members onto like my Flickr account or whatever to come see the picture.
Or Instagram or, yeah.
Like, yeah, it's not going to happen. And so, especially with the older generation, it's been super handy for me personally.
Which is kind of ironically why we see a lot of kids moving away.
Yes.
Is that it became such a good tool to stay up to date with people that the adults started using it. And as soon as the adults started using it, you know, even if you can adjust who sees your post and all that kind of stuff, it just became uncool.
Yeah.
So kind of speaking along those lines, you know, we were mentioning all this market research, all this kind of more safety issues. There are things you can do to an extent.
Yes.
When it comes to privacy settings, that's something you need to know does exist within Facebook. And I've noticed recently, due to some recent news scandals that have happened, they've been actually popping up on my screen and saying, hey, look at your security settings. Are these acceptable to you?
Yes.
And those are something you should always look through. I probably won't say how to get to them directly because it does change. Yeah. Menu options do change. But just go to your little, usually, at least right now, it's a little drop-down arrow in the upper right corner. And just go to settings, and then you can go through and, you know, go through your security settings and make sure they're to your liking. Are your posts being posted to everybody in the world? You know, are they just being shared with your friends, friends with friends?
Right.
And the thing to keep in mind is that if you do things on Facebook, though, you might be able to control who shares or what Facebook shares with other companies, but that information is still going to be collected.
Yeah. You can't stop them from collecting, but they will, at least theoretically, if they have actual control, not share with other companies. But the scandal you mentioned was about back in March. There's all these little, like, if you were a Harry Potter character, which one would you be? Kind of quizzes. And what a good chunk of those kind of quizzes ended up sharing information back with a kind of notorious advertising marketing company, and they weren't supposed to get the info, but somehow they did, and so there was a big to-do over that.
And the hard part is that the information they were able to collect wasn't necessarily things that you did to get the information. It was things that your friends were doing. Mm-hmm. So your friends were getting compromised, and their access to see your information allowed that market firm to get your information as well.
Yes.
So it's important to look at your privacy settings, but it's also important to realize that privacy settings aren't going to be your safety net. So my general rule of thumb is to not put on Facebook anything that you wouldn't want the world to know about you.
100%. Even if
that's the simplest way to look at it.
Yeah. Well, and I assume with anything I do on any social media or online in general, that eventually it could make it to the wider world. So be careful, always. But as far as those safety precautions go, do know that regardless of how tight you lock down your privacy settings, I do think your name, your profile picture, your cover picture, and select details are always available.
Mm-hmm. Probably like your, I'm guessing like date of birth and general geographical location.
I don't remember the details, but if you search, you can find.
Yeah, and the important thing to realize, I mean, it's important to hold these companies responsible because they have a lot of very sensitive data of ours, but they are still a business. So a lot of people are upset, well, Facebook is going to be getting my name and, you know, all this stuff. You're not paying for the service. Mm-hmm. So as long as you are understanding the concept that this is not some, like, government welfare, you know, social media account, which I don't believe exists yet, you know.
I hope it does.
There's going to be information being selected.
That would be a weird dystopian future, man. You have to go have a Facebook account to get your unemployment checks. Woo.
You know, the way that I've been seeing some of the social media changes over in, I think, China, I wouldn't be surprised if it exists or it hasn't existed yet.
Oh, gee. Well, on that lovely note, some of the things to keep in mind when you're using Facebook for not even like sharing information with major advertisers side of things. There are individuals out there who will hack a Facebook account and they will either like attempt to give you a virus or put spyware, what have you, on your computer. So you always have to be really careful when you're looking at, oh, for instance,
Hey, Kim, look at this crazy thing that happened last night. Here's a link.
Yeah, so be careful with those links. And if some dude from a foreign country, like, messages you and says, hey, sweet stuff, how are you doing? Like, no.
Something that I found kind of helpful when it comes to, like, people that are messaging me is I kind of see, like, who do I have in common with them? Because Facebook will tell you that.
Yes.
So it's like, oh, I have one person or zero people in common with you. Not to be rude, but I'm probably not going to really pay any attention to you.
Yeah. Well,
something that's really fun to kind of do, if you look at this, and it's Facebook actually has a spam filter in our chats.
Yes.
So if you go to your messaging app, and then you go to up at the top, or as of right now, you see recent, how it's sorted on the desktop.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to message requests, and then click on see filtered messages, you will just see a flood of things that are just complete spam and things that you would have never even knew that were being sent to you that are just trying to take advantage of you.
Another one that's frequent is people trying to look like somebody you know. And so they'll have the same name. Sometimes they'll even pull the same profile picture, but it'll be a brand new account usually. And they'll have not nearly as many friends as you would anticipate. And they won't have anything to say to you because they're not the person they say they are.
Exactly. And then kind of finally, or I don't know, finally, but a big one too is all these different apps and games that you can connect to your Facebook account.
Don't do
websites that you go on that ask you to log in with Facebook.
Oh my gosh.
Make sure that they're reputable and understand that if you allow them to access things to post your wall and see your details, they can do that. And they probably are.
Yes. And with those, you have to be really careful. There's been some that they basically do what I was just saying, where they try to replicate you and then befriend all your friends, and it can get really messy. So don't do that.
And a lot of these kind of cross over to other social media.
Right.
Services out there as well. So like Instagram, Flickr, Twitter. It's just a good thing to keep in mind that, you know, these services are free usually, but there's reasons they're free. And as long as you realize that and understand what of your information is being shared with people,
you're fine.
Then you can go ahead and make that unspoken contract with that company, which really isn't unspoken because you go through that terms of service that you never read.
Yeah. And that's something too, is if you have any concerns, to go find those terms of service and see what they're saying. I mean, you basically don't have a choice. It's either you accept them or you don't use it, which you have to weigh the pros and cons with everything you do ever. But in this particular case, I know I personally am very tied in to Facebook because, like, right now, we record the podcast over a Facebook call. I have, I don't know how many Facebook groups that I'm involved in, specifically for podcasting, ironically, that are really great ways to network and to find people. And so for me, I have a really high threshold for what I'm willing to put up with, and some people maybe don't. And actually, a lot of people, especially for their news, because Facebook was trying to be kind of your go-to for everything internet, including news, they are now kind of backing down from that because they realized with, I don't know how much you know about this, but like the 2016 election process, Russia got into Facebook and hacked a bunch of, well, I guess not really hacked.
It wasn't really hacked. They just started sharing a bunch of news that either was dubious at best or just downright false. And
they used it basically as a behavioral engineering kind of situation where they took the information that they knew because of all of the metadata behind it that certain people would be, how do you put it?
What they were doing is they were manipulating both sides of the party debate. So Democrats, Republicans, and other parties, they were able to kind of share news and build databases on them and over time influence the general thought space on how people were behaving towards their individual political worldview.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like an overnight thing. It was very much kind of a guerrilla thing where there were people over in Russia. I mean, it's been proven. This has been,
Yes.
so not to get into political discussion here, but there were people in the world that were, trying to influence people's behaviors. And whether or not you believe that that ever happened to you, the unfortunate thing is it did happen to some.
Well, and regardless of if you think or don't think it happened to you, the chances of some of that behavioral whatever being at least in your sphere of influence are really, really high because there was enough small little pieces kind of everywhere that you couldn't really avoid it. And so they consider it meddling with the election processes, actually, which is part of what Facebook, if you remember the hearing, when Mark Zuckerberg was in front of Congress, that's what that was about. They were afraid that Facebook was screwing with the election, messing with the elections.
Yeah, so now you see them, like you said, backing out in the news section, or they're revamping the news at least, showing it in a different way than how it has been presented to you in the past. Well, that went on a tangent.
It's important though,
It is
because
important,
Facebook
yeah.
is so big in everyone's lives anymore, it seems.
It's really become less of a website you go to and more of a public service,
Yes.
which is really weird, I think, for a company that becomes that large.
Yes.
Because you stop being able to just be like, well, we're a company, people can stop using us, to more of a, well, it's almost not quite a human right, but
Right.
it's on some scale closer.
The internet in general is
Yeah.
almost a human right, or at least very much like a telephone service. Like on my recent job hunting, everything I did was internet-based. All the background checks, all of the searching for the jobs, all of even the interviews were all very much internet-based, which is why net neutrality is the thing that needs to happen again. Dang it, Congress. Wow, I'm political. Sorry.
Well, maybe that'll be for another day if we want to go into that sort of a
Tangent.
tangent. But well, I think we kind of covered things fairly well here today.
Yeah, and if any of our listeners have questions, they can reach us. Our Twitter is @servicedeskpod. You can reach us on our email, servicedeskpodcast@gmail.com, and we have a website, servicedeskpodcast.com. What am I missing? Oh, Facebook.
Oh yeah, Facebook.
Irony.
You can see our Facebook at facebook.com/servicedeskpodcast. And on all of these places, your engagement and rating does help. So please rate and review and even comment on the episode if you have a way to do that, especially on
Yeah.
iTunes. I'm Andrew.
I'm Kim,
And
and
we're
we're
your
your
techie
techie
friends.
friends.